good. I got a text here just recently, just before the break. The Jeff Petrie reports are good in the sense that right now could be likely to be back in the lineup tomorrow night. What are you hearing?
Yeah, you know what? Haven't heard anything on the injury front. So I'm not really hearing much. And if that is good information for the Oilers, they need this guy playing. They need him to be playing every night. They need him to maintain a high level of play so that teams can see him, see that he's healthy, and you know, the value stays relatively high. Because the most likely scenario that we're hurtling towards is a trade, and the last thing you need is a guy taking a busted rib or something silly like that and ends up costing you what could be a decent asset. So, yeah, that's good news, but I don't have any information other than what you're telling me.
If you were the Edmonton Oilers, and you know you're not going to get a contract extension, would you contemplate resting Petrie?
Well, I wouldn't play him if he was 70%, put it that way. I would probably give him whatever time he needs to make sure that he heals. And if it means missing a game, letting somebody else play for a game, I'd be fine with that. To me, if he's in any way, shape, or form at risk of furthering the injury, then yeah, I would sit him. I would protect the asset, sit him, give him the time he needs. These games mean absolutely nothing. So yeah, I would absolutely sit him. It just all depends on what TD Forrest and the doctors are telling you. And if they're saying, yeah, you know what, he can play if he has to play, he's good, you know, but he's definitely still in pain and it's not ideal, then absolutely just sit him. Wouldn't you guys? I don't know.
Yeah, it
seems obvious to me.
Yeah. If he's not going to be able to play, it doesn't do any good to wheel him out there. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, look, another thing that was bouncing around last night, or maybe a little bit longer than that, but it was out there last night. Derek Roy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, he's come along on a value contract at $1 million. Mm-hmm. He's 30 years old, or 31. He's been better than I thought he would be. And I'm not saying he's an answer to anything except at that price point, and he'll want more money. If you're the Oilers, do you say, yeah, we got Leon and we might have this guy counting your, you know, eggs before they're hatched kind of thing? Do you sign Derek Roy for no other reason than he's got something going with a guy you took first overall, and I don't think it's a fluke that him saying, yeah, I want to play with this kid, and that they've done more than talk, they've been very good. Does that count for anything in your books?
Yeah, no, it does. I don't know that it means, Robin, that they need to sign him to an extension. I think what it means is they shouldn't trade him. I think they should just let it play for the rest of the year, right? For the sake of a fourth or fifth round pick or whatever the return will be, just keep him. And so they'll keep him for the rest of the year and let him and Yakupov play together, continue to develop some chemistry, get a better look at Derek Roy, get a better feel for the whole situation, and then make the decision in the off season. Wait and see where their draft pick is. Mm-hmm. If it's number one or number two, then there will be a new center playing on this team next year. And you probably don't have to sign Derek Roy.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. So you're actually advocating to get younger at the center price position?
Well, what I'm saying is if they're picking first or second, then there's going to be another new center and a top six style center on the team. So you probably don't need Derek Roy.
Well,
so it just is what it is, man. One of those two kids is going to play next year on this roster if they have one of those picks. And then if you sign Derek Roy, well, now you got Nugent Hopkins, then you've got, let's say, Eichel, and then you've got Draisaitl coming, and then you've got Boyd Gordon still, and then you've got Anton Lander. I'm five deep now.
Yeah, so the order, so it's called the wing position. Nathan McKinnon, you need veterans down the middle. You can let the young kid come in and play in the NHL if they have to, but he doesn't have to play center.
Yeah, I think you probably would let this kid play center. If you end up with Connor McDavid, you let Connor McDavid play center. That's his position. I don't know why you start him off anywhere other than where he's supposed to be playing. Yeah, honestly, guys, I think they're just going to hang on to Derek Roy and then wait till the offseason, see where their pick is, and decide if they need him or not. And I don't think they're going to trade him. I think they're going to hang on to him.
Well, yeah.
But yeah.
They definitely shouldn't trade him. And to me, I would sign him regardless of where you're picking. Because if you pick Jack Eichel, right? The Oilers' odds of getting McDavid are like 13.3%. They're very low. So sure. To me, I would have a plan to instead of plan for the best case scenario, plan for the realistic scenario, which is likely not McDavid. And, you know, Jack Eichel could easily be another year NCAA from all the people's reports that wouldn't be the worst thing. Or he could even be eligible to play in the AHL if you wanted to, but you could bring him up. Nathan McKinnon's first overall pick, he didn't play center right off the bat. Didn't hurt his rookie year. Steven Stamkos' first overall pick, he didn't play center his first year in the league either. I don't think just because the kid's a number one, and even Connor McDavid, sure, maybe him, because maybe. But Jack Eichel, I don't think you have to say this guy's got to play center. The Oilers have... It's been so clear you can't win with inexperience and a lack of strength down the middle. It would just be a mind-blowingly bad decision to say we're not re-signing Derek Roy because one of our young kids is going to slide into our top six, my opinion.
Well, let me ask you guys this question. Are you sure Nail Yakupov is going to be here next year? Because if you're signing Derek Roy because he's a good fit with Nail Yakupov, are you sure Yakupov is going to be here yet?
Well, if Derek Roy can get Nail Yakupov to produce to the level that he is right now and play that comfortable, then maybe you could split up Eberle and Hall and have one of them with Nugent Hopkins and one of them with Derek Roy, who likely could help them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what? That's a fair question, Ryan. But, I mean, he is an RFA. If he wants to play, and I don't even want to bring it up because it's like, oh, you bring it up when you talk about the Russians, well, he'll have to go back across the pond. I don't think if this season ends the way it's looking in these last handful of games, it washes away a lot of the sour taste from the early part of the season. No, he's not going to get the kind of contract that the three other kids did. I mean, maybe we were talking a year ago about, well, how much will he get? Well, he's going to get what he gets, but he'll be an NHL player. I would just like to see them err on the side of not counting on Eichel. And not even at this point, really, as much as he's been ripping it up in Kelowna, not have to count on Leon Draisaitl. Have more and go, you know what? We're too loaded here. We need to unload somebody rather than going, oops, it didn't work out the
and
way
Leon
we thought
Draisaitl,
it would.
Leon Draisaitl, guys, AHL, I'd have no problem with him there.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. There's no issue with Draisaitl starting in the AHL next year. This is the thing, though. I don't disagree with what you're saying, but maybe Derek Roy, they should sign Derek Roy. They shouldn't do it now. There's absolutely no need to rush this. They've got other variables they need to get into place.
Yep.
They need to see how well Nail plays for the rest of the year, where his trade value is at. They need to see where they're picking and figure out if they're adding another core center to the organization, because that will change things. And make no mistake, Derek Roy might want to just wait and see what happens on that front too. Right? Derek Roy considers himself a top six type forward. He's not going to be a third or fourth line center. So do you think that with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Leon Draisaitl coming, and one of either Eichel or McDavid, that Derek Roy looks at it and goes, this is ideal for me? And maybe there would be other teams that aren't quite as deep at center. So, I mean, I just don't think there's a rush. People who think they need to sign him now, it's crazy. There's absolutely no need to do
that.
Well,
I wouldn't sign him today, but I look at Derek Roy, and the Edmonton Oilers, to me, it's a one-year deal for Derek Roy, and you can pay him $3 million or $2.75, what other number. He only got a one-year deal this past summer for $1 million, right? Late. Uh-huh. You know, maybe you don't even have to pay him that much. But there's very few teams that he would get an opportunity to be a top-six center, because here he would, regardless of who they draft, I think. I don't think they want to start with that many young forwards and that many young centers in their top six. Now, maybe halfway through the season that will change. But I think Derek Roy has shown that he can mentor young guys who have struggled with the overall part of the game.
Yeah, I just think that the early returns have been good. He's about, what, 0.5 points per game in his time as an Oiler? Like, he's about a half point a game.
Yep.
The early returns are good. There's a little chemistry there with Nail. Like, all the signs are good. I just, from the standpoint of sense of urgency, this is just down on the list. I think you just wait on this one. You wait till after the draft lottery, when the season's over, so they know where they're picking, and wait and see what the rest of the year looks like with Yakupov. Figure out if you're even going to have Yakupov in the mix next year. Because while Derek Roy and Nail Yakupov might be a good fit together, and that's all good and everything, Derek Roy is 5 foot what? And Nail is 5 foot what? And we've been harping for years on how they need to get bigger. So maybe the move in the offseason is to move Nail and get bigger. Or who knows?
He doesn't
right?
play
but
small,
no need
though.
To give anybody a deal now.
Ryan, I don't think Nail Yakupov plays small.
Yeah, no, he doesn't play slight. I'd agree with that. And he throws the odd hit here and there. But I think you understand my point.
Yeah.
So you've got this nice little tandem of Roy and Yakupov. Well, that how many small forwards are they going to actually plan to move forward with? So they need to wait and see. And there's no rush. There's no rush. Now, I say that in one breath, and in the other breath, I'm pretty sure they're about to sign Klingkamp. And, well, what's the reasoning for that? Well, I mean, I think they just want a little bit of certainty in their lineup next year as well. And I think that fourth line, they just want to have that locked in.
Yeah, but and that, to me, would illustrate the problem, Ryan, that they're more worried about having locked-in certainty on their fourth-line winger spots than they are over experienced centers.
But what do you think they should do? Do you think they need to sign Derek Roy right now? Like, when would you sign him?
I'd have no problem signing Derek Roy. Because I really, to me, the draft lottery doesn't change my philosophy for next year very much, in my opinion. I don't think it does at all.
Yeah, and I think that I don't think there's any reason to rush that signing. He is not in a position of power at all. He probably wants to wait and see how some of these things flesh out. There's no rush. Like, there's a reason why Derek Roy was where he was last summer. There's a reason why he couldn't find a job and had to take a one-year deal and didn't play much with that team. And there is a reason. And while it's been good here so far, there's no reason to start thinking about giving this guy multiple years and multiple millions of dollars. I mean, if it's another year at $1.5 million or something like that, another let's see if you can keep this up kind of contract, that's all I would expect the Oilers to do with him in the summer anyways. But if you're starting to talk $2-2.5 million for your second line center, closing in on the Perreault $3 million, I wouldn't do that. No way.
Yeah, there is a you do hit a wall where you start, you know, does he diminish again? I mean, to me, he's been a pleasant surprise. I was a guy going, really, you want to get this guy? You know, because he kind of looked finished, and he's been very good. I give him credit for that. Another ongoing theme, Ryan, Todd Nelson, I chuckled at the quotes I saw coming out of the room last night about the little talk he had with Marincin and Gordon. It's like,
yeah.
One guy, you got anything? Nope, I don't got anything. There's an honest player in Gordon. Says, you know, the kid, I got it. I mean, we just didn't get this narrative before. If anything, it gives us a little window into the personality of this coach again.
Well, and, you know, we talked, like, the sense that I get from it, and I don't know, Jason, if you're sitting there listening to him as he talks about these guys, Robin, you hear it, like, I get the sense, and it's not, he's not being sappy about it, he's not being cheesy about it, it's not forced or anything like that, but in the little anecdotes that he does share with us, and the little stories that he tells, and a little bit when you talk to him off camera, I just get the sense that Todd Nelson is just a really good guy who cares a lot about his players, like really cares a lot about them, and has developed a really good rapport with a lot of them. And you hear these little stories, like what forward would be comfortable enough with his relationship with his coach in a shootout? The coach looks at him and says, so you got to move? And to say, nope. Like that's pretty unusual. The coach looks at you in a shootout, you buck up and go do it, right?
Well,
Boyd Gordon comfortable enough and confident enough in who he is and what he is and his relationship with Todd Nelson to be like, buddy, if you got other options, go for it. Like, it's just funny. And it's a little window into the rapport that he has with his players.
Yeah, you need a face-off, I'm your man, but I'm not really your man
exactly.
In the shootout.
Exactly. To be that blunt. You got to move? Nope. Sorry, coach. If you're looking for a goal right now, I am not your option. Like, that's hysterical that Boyd Gordon would have the confidence to say that. And it speaks to how comfortable he would be with his head coach.